Bob Hope Show. And now, here is Bob Hope.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm very happy to be back here in England, ladies and gentlemen. I know I'm in England. This morning my stomach got up 2 hours before I did and had a cup of tea. I feel much safer over here. But I still keep in touch with America. As a matter of fact, I spend a lot of time at the American Embassy. I hide there after every performance. And I had a wonderful trip over. I flew over this trip. I've flown a lot, but I still get nervous about it. I guess it's because when I was born, the stork dropped me from 400 feet up. You had to keep out of range of Dad's shotgun. You see, he'd already had my brothers, Eeny, Meeny, Miney, and he didn't want no more. And on this flight, I got so jittery that the stewardess had to slap me to bring me to. Anyway, that's my story. But Britain has all kinds of strange new jet planes. Now, I saw a guy flying through the air in what looked like a spaceship, and I said, after a speed record? He said, no, it broke loose from the roller coaster at Blackpool. But I'm known as quite a sportsman over here. When I get off the plane, one reporter pointed at my nose and said, look, he brought his own cricket bat. But I'm appearing at the Palladium Theater, London's best theater. Frankie Lane appeared here last week. Frankie Lane, that's the guy who sings like he's got his head caught in a garbage disposal. Something like Johnny Ray, except that Johnny sings like he's already gone through. And I've met some wonderful people over here at big parties. For instance, Lady Astor had one of her famous teas, and it's quite an honor to attend because not everyone is invited. And I'd like to tell you about it, but like I say, not everyone is invited. And I love the continent. I made a fast trip over to Monte Carlo, by the way. Monte Carlo, that's Las Vegas with a monocle. But you know, people are such suckers when it comes to gambling. Some of them are so stupid, they lose everything they have and then go out and shoot themselves. But not me. I was lucky. The gun didn't go off. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've had a very exciting week here in England. I've met several old friends and had a lot of unusual adventures. To tell you about it, let's go back to last Monday morning when I checked into London's famous Savoy Hotel.
Savoy, take up Lord Fulham's bags, Mrs. Smythe Wellington's bags, and the Maharaja's grips.
Oh, clerk, would you mind having my luggage taken up, too?
Why, certainly, Mr. Hope. Which are yours?
Well, do you see that set of matched alligator suitcases over there in the row of white leather bags?
Oh, yes, indeed, sir.
Well, mine are the two gunny sacks and the orange crate right between them. It's the last time I'll borrow luggage from Jack Benny, I'll tell you that. Now, I want the very best service, and here's a £5 note.
Oh, thank you very much, sir.
Have it changed and keep threepence for yourself. I'm also using Jack Benny's tipping system. See you later, clerk. Well, I guess I'll unpack my bags. Gee, they really gave me a wonderful suite. Come in.
Hello, Bob.
Well, Jack Buchanan. Well, this is a very pleasant surprise, Jack. How did you know I was in England?
Well, it was in the Morning Times, Bob. I saw your name among the passengers landing at London Airport. How was your trip?
Oh, awful. I was in one of those planes with the reclining seats that tilt way back.
Oh, what's wrong with that?
Nothing at first. Then the woman in front of me started feeding her baby. For lunch, I had a bowl of baby food and a teething ring.
Well, I've had a few unfortunate experiences in those flights myself, Bob.
You have?
Yes, so much of the pleasure of your trip depends on who you're sitting next to. And I've been having miserable luck. Last time I flew over from America, Ava Gardner sat next to me. The time before that, it was Lana Turner. And the time before that, it was Rita Hayworth.
Gee, why don't those catastrophes ever happen to me? Tell me, Jack, what's wrong with sitting next to Ava and Lana and Rita?
Oh, you don't understand, though, boy. See, I always take my chessboard along and none of them knew how to play, you know.
They all know how to play, Jack, but chess isn't their game.
Well, anyway, Bob, it's wonderful to see you again.
Same here, Jack.
The last time we got together was when I was in America on your television show, remember?
I sure remember. Your contract called for the highest salary I ever paid a guest star.
Oh, yes, yes, a wonderful salary. In fact, that's why I dropped around here today.
What do you mean?
When do I get it?
Jack, I distinctly remember giving you a check right after the show. Don't tell me it wasn't any good.
I never found out.
How come?
Before I could get to the bank, the writing faded away.
I'm sorry, I must have used the same ink I used to write fan letters to Red Skelton. But, Jack, I want to tell you something. You know, I went to see your picture before I left the States. It's a big smash.
Oh, thank you very much, but I can't take all the credit. Fred Astaire's in the picture, too, you know, and he's the greatest dancer in the world.
Second greatest.
The second greatest?
I taught Fred everything he knows. I used to be his dancing partner.
Now, wait a minute, Bob. I thought his sister Adele was his dancing partner.
We took turns. I'd still be dancing with Fred, but one night my wig unraveled and I lassoed everybody in the first four rows.
Well, that's one time you captivated your audience. I like to get off a little joke.
You better get off that when it's beginning to hatch. But, Jack, I'm awfully glad you drop around to see me because I want you to be on the radio show I'm doing here in London.
Well, I'd be delighted, Bob.
Fine. I'm leaving for the studio right now, and I... Oh, pardon me, Jack. Come in.
I say, are you Mr. Hope?
Yes, I am. What can I do for you?
I'm Pamela Harcourt Sizenby, representing 10,000 girls of the Bob Hope Fan Club of Britain.
10,000 girls?
And every one of us adores you, Mr. Hope. Do you mind if I say you're the greatest comedian in the world today?
Well, why should he mind? He often says the same thing himself.
Who's been spiking your trifle?
We girls never miss one of your cinemas, Mr. Hope. And we hold regular meetings to discuss how wonderful you are.
Gee, I didn't realize how much you cared.
Oh, but we do, Mr. Hope. We even have tea bags with your picture on. We think of you. We think of you every time we dunk.
Sounds romantic, but messy. Imagine, Jack, putting my face on their tea bags.
Oh, a clever idea. Saves buying lemon.
Well, it was sweet of you to drop in, Miss Sizenby. Thanks a lot.
Oh, but I can't leave till I've read you my poem.
Your poem?
It's about you, Mr. Hope. To our ideal... Tall and handsome, eyes of blue. Oh, Mr. Hope, that's you, that's you.
Well, I'll admit it's a good description. Would you say my eyes are blue, Jack?
Well, in a muddy sort of way. About as blue as the Thames estuary at low tide.
Thank you. Go on, Miss Sizenby.
Oh, you'll like this part, Mr. Hope. Like a romantic hero in a book, you have a mysterious, faraway look.
How do you get a faraway look?
The people in the next apartment always leave their shades up.
And now for the closing stanza. Ready?
Let her rip.
So in parting, let us say, Mr. Hope, we girls think you're just okay. And your noble character we'll always defend. There may be those who say you're a donkey. But we think you're just the end.
Gee, what a sweet sentiment. Except I hate to be so far from the feed bag.
Well, goodbye, Mr. Hope. We girls of your fan club will be eagerly awaiting your next cinema.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Quite a girl. I wonder where she came from.
I don't know, but somebody ought to check the statues at Madame Tussaud's waxworks. Well, come on, Jack. Let's go on over to the radio studio.
Fine. I'll show you the sights of our fair city on the way.
Jack, you can't show me anything about London that I haven't already seen.
Really? Have you watched the changing of the guard?
No.
Been to the Tower of London?
No.
Buckingham Palace?
No, but just the same, I've seen about everything there is to see.
When?
Last night. I spent 6 hours in Piccadilly. Here's Maggie Whiting to sing for you, ladies and gentlemen. Her song is P.S. I Love You.
I thought I'd drop a line. The weather's cool, the folks are fine. I'm in bed each night at 9. P.S. I love you. Yesterday we had some rain, but all in all, I can't complain. Was it dusty on the train? P.S. I love you. Ride to the Browns as soon as you're able. They came around. Nothing else for me to say, and so I'll close. But by the way, everybody's thinking of you. P.S. I love you.
London, I'm putting my radio show on tape for you from the stage of the famous Palladium Theater, Val Parnell's Garage. And now I'd like to introduce an old friend of mine and one of our really great actors, Mr. Douglas Fairbanks, Jr., right here.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, welcome home, Bob. I say that because I understand that you are a native son.
That's right, Doug.
Since you're practically a native, well, you are a native, aren't you? Mm-hmm. You must know London pretty well.
On the contrary, Doug, I have so much trouble finding my way around. The police have made a special rule for me.
The police have made a special rule for you? What is it?
From now on, I can only ask directions from men.
Well, I can understand how it's easy for a visitor to become confused, Bob. Have you noticed how crooked the streets are?
Crooked. The last time I was here, I started following a blonde, and after two blocks, she was following me.
You should have been here during the blackouts.
I was.
Is this a private conversation, or can I put in my 2 shillings worth?
Oh, step in here, Jack. You and Doug know each other?
Well, of course, Bob. All Londoners know each other.
All Londoners know each other? How come?
Have you ever ridden in the tube?
That's the subway with a monocle, I know.
Jack and I caught your show at the Palladium together, Bob. We were there last night, you know.
You were? Well, what did you think of my performance?
Well, I thought, Well, really, Bob, I sat behind a post.
Jack, what did you think of my performance?
Well, really, Bob, I sat behind Doug. You know, while you're here, Bob, I'd be glad to put you up.
Oh, thanks, Jack, but I'm staying with relatives in one of the suburbs. Twiddling on the Thames.
Twiddling on the Thames.
Yeah, my folks founded it 300 years ago. They were the original Twiddles. They've been twiddling ever since.
surprise, Bob. I never heard you mention before that you came from one of the old English families.
Well, they weren't very patriotic, Doug. In fact, they took part in both of the successful invasions of England.
Oh, I didn't know there were two.
Oh, yes, my ancestor Samuel Hope was with William the Conqueror.
Uh-huh. And what was the other invasion?
Ben Hogan. My brother George with his caddy. Seriously, though, our family history tells that before William the Conqueror, there was Robert the Invader. Now, if you fellas will help out, I'll show you how it was.
Carry on.
The time was 760 B.C. England was split into feudal states, and the armies of Robert the Invader scattered them like chaff before the wind. In less than a week, he was camped on a hill overlooking London.
Sire!
Advance, Lieutenant Buchanan.
I have wonderful news.
What is your news?
You have brought Britain to her knees, sire. The Duke of Sussex surrenders, York surrenders, Rotherwood surrenders.
Gad, now if Noel Coward surrenders, we're in. this is splendid, Buchanan. Soon we'll have all those cities. Manchester, Liverpool, London, Naples, Rome.
Naples and Rome aren't in England, sire.
Who cares? I'm drunk with power.
I myself shall lead our phalanxes into London, sire.
Have a care of you, Cannon. The first attack went badly.
Our men were repulsed?
Not exactly. They broke into Selfridge's export department and two whole regiments were shipped to America. And tax-free yet.
Four armies of archers and pikemen await your command, my lord.
Then we march on to London at once. The city is helpless, but death to any soldier who forgets the motto of Robert the Invader. In hoc, Romanorum, Romanus Romanorum.
What does that mean, sire?
Save the pretty ones for me.
Rumor has it you invade these isles for one purpose, sire. To woo the fairest flower of the known world, Diane, Princess of Brittany.
I'll be at her feet within the hour.
But, sire, her beauty drives men mad. She has golden hair, soft, rounded shoulders, the figure of a goddess.
That's why I'll be at her feet. I can't trust myself with the rest of her. I'll venture. The princess is fretting in her palace awaiting my arrival. Let us not tarry. Forward to the attack!
Oh, Captain Douglas of Fairbanks, you must tell me what to do. I cannot marry Robert the Invader.
I'm afraid you have no choice, Princess.
But it's so unfair to have all my dreams shattered this way.
What are your dreams?
I want to marry a man.
Well, Robert is a man. Speaking very loosely, of course. Ah, he must be entering the palace now.
All hail, Robert the Invader! Tiger of France, the Lion of Brittany.
I also drive my own Jaguar.
I bid you welcome to Brittany, sire.
You will address me as your majesty. I am the conqueror of these isles, the leader of 10 Norman armies, and the admiral of the Spanish fleet. I demand respect and obedience.
Yes, your majesty. But may I make one request?
What is it?
Will you please stop nibbling on my ear?
Sorry, I had a very light lunch.
This is my royal equerry, Captain Douglas of Fairbanks.
I am your new emperor. Well, say something, man. What do you think of your new emperor?
I think you're a pompous fool who has caused thousands to die through your cruelty and monumental stupidity. You, sire, are a crass, uncultured, witless ass.
Don't be afraid. Speak up.
You see? Captain Douglas is a brave man.
Too brave. You dare insult the Prince of Normandy?
Prince, indeed. Of what house are you, the Prince?
The Lion's Corner House. We lived under the third table from the crumpet counter. Well, let's get down to business, Princess. I don't believe in long courtships. Should we get married in, say, 30 seconds?
You may be our conqueror, but you cannot force this monstrous marriage.
Spare me, my lord. I'm just a young girl. I did not ask for this face and shapely form. This beauty that drives men mad.
Enough of this bickering, or somebody will get 50 lashes.
Who?
I haven't decided yet. For what I'm thinking, it could be me.
Refuse to marry you.
I have decreed that for each day of delay, 1,000 hostages will die a violent, terrible death.
By the sword?
Worse. I'll have them lashed to consomme cubes and simmered to death in hot bovril. But we waste time. Buchanan.
Aye, sire.
Fetch the churchman. We will perform the ceremony immediately.
I can stand this no longer. Sire, I love this woman. At least let me fight for her.
A duel, eh? Other weapons?
On this wall, there are 2 axes, 2 knives, 2 pikes.
I'll take this broadsword.
Why a broadsword?
There's only one of them. I'll have a better chance.
I warn you, I am the best swordsman in England.
You are?
And with a mace, I slew 50 men.
You did?
And I've driven my pike through 100 skulls.
You have?
Well, name your weapon. What do you choose?
How are you at snapping turkey wishbones?
You have your sword and I have mine. Prepare to defend yourself.
Sire, you better take this shield.
Only cowards use shields.
I know. Hold still while I buckle it on.
The great Robert the Invader will be dead within 30 seconds. You need a lesson, and I shall be your teacher.
Can I ask one question, teacher?
What is it?
May I leave the room?
It's too late, Robert the Invader. Fight!
Ha! You asked for it, Captain Douglas. Take that! And that! And that!
Take what?
I don't know. It's what they always say.
Hold, sires! Hold, sires! Hold your swords! Captain Douglas, you are fighting the new King of England.
Me? The King?
Listen, listen, Sir Abbott. Great crowds are at the gates. The people have taken you to their heart.
But I'm the invader. I've slain thousands, put the whole country to the torch. Why do you suddenly bestow on me your highest honor, the crown of England?
It is but small reward, sire. You're the only foreigner who ever came over here who isn't trying to swim the channel.
Bob Hope Show is brought to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.